We have talked a lot, quick quiz on data points on a second mortgage, non-performing second. What are my top five data points in due diligence?
Credit report.
Then what? What was fourth?
Employment.
What was it?
Employment.
Employment?
Emotional equity.
Emotional equity, I'm looking for that emotional equity, right? How long have they been at the home, then employment? Then where do I go? What's sixth? What's kind of, now it's down below. Now I'm getting to the collateral. Does that say, it's counterintuitive, right? Our traditional training in real estate investing? You with me? Like, we're always thinking investment to value. What's my cushion? What's my protective equity, right? And that's why you're able to buy these notes at such a steep, steep discount. So we're picking them up at 15 cents on the dollar in larger buys. And that is on, just to show you, just so you know, as you do your due diligence, you're paying 15 cents on the dollar of UPB. What's UPB?
Unpaid.
We're all note experts, right? Unpaid principal balance, right? When you're typically buying a note, and you need to make sure in your due diligence that the seller is not slipping one past you, so he's pricing this, is this unpaid principal balance or total outstanding balance? What is the difference? Arrearages and late fees, right? So typically, the ethical way to do it and how everyone else does it, right, is here. But I always verify. It's a big, big deal to make sure what they're pricing it on, and you gotta go through all your notes in a pool, because sometimes they'll pepper in a few. Might be innocent, it might be not innocent. Right, remember the analogy of swimming out to the five pirate ships? Right, what do pirates do? Do you think they're always, I'm just telling you, check and double check, right? So total outstanding balance versus unpaid principal balance, right? But if you're doing that, this right here, right, is you got it's plus arrearages and lates to get to this. I guess my arrow should be going that way, right? Sorry. Arrearages and lates. It's getting late, sorry. I like that. What I love about the arrearages and lates is that when you think of an ice cream sundae, you got the vanilla ice cream. Here's my vanilla ice cream. I'm looking to make sure if there's coverage for that, my initial investment with a performing first in front of it, I'm golden. I'll buy every single one of those you'll put in front of me, right? Every single one at that price. Now you come in where you got kind of the toppings, right? The bananas, all the other toppings, right? That's where you're getting into this spread between 15, that 85 cent spread. But now this arrearages and lates is that little cherry on top of the sundae. You know, sometimes I who eats the cherry on top of the sundae? Sometimes I take that thing, I'm like, oh, that's nasty, throw it away, right? But I'm learning to not throw that away. Because that's a huge, huge leverage point. And if there's equity coverage, do you need to waive it?
Nope.
They owe the money, right? Are we in an environment where they're hoping for some sort of modification, relief, restructure? Yeah, so you need to get creative with that. So let's just run through some things, and I'll go through, make sure that we've gotten some of the good stuff. So Google Drive-By, right? Technology, right, has made it so that you literally, I'm going to use the little Google guy, yeah, to walk in front of a property and see a house. Now we don't know the most recent, you see all the Google cars driving with the cameras, right? We don't know the most recent one, so that's why we use boots on the ground to still take pictures. And if it's an asset we're really going to either foreclose or really get serious about, we're actually paying for that, right? Market rents. I wrote it on the board earlier. Rentometer.com is one that we use. How many licensed agents in here? Four or five of you. RPR Online, you guys have access to that. I actually like that one. Zillow, for in terms of property valuation, is hit and miss. I wouldn't base everything on Zillow, right? Is it a great place to start? Sure, right? But I'll typically take the address of a property and put it in Google, right? So write down Shout Shack.
Oh,
Is that what it is, Aaron? Shoutshack.com?
It is, yeah.
I still use that. I don't use it as much as RPR online. Oh, it's coming?
Yeah, it's a ways down.
We'll support you 1,000% and never using Zillow.
Yeah, please.
Like, that's actually a personal philosophy that I have.
Awesome. RPR online, we love because it's pulling from recent sales. Right, so that's why we love that one. It's pretty right on. You can take that value to the bank that it's giving you.
RPR online.
RPR online. So these are things that, you know, in terms of, this is more after you fund, right? So I just want to touch on this because these are the TILA. Have you guys ever heard? You know, everyone know what TILA stands for?
Truth in Lending.
Truth in Lending Act. Where's our lenders, right? So there's a transfer note. When you actually, there's a letter that needs to go out. You need to inform your borrower, right, that you actually are the new holder. There's an assignment, title transfer, whatever it is, you're the new holder of this note. That's at the ownership level, right? That's the owner. That's what needs to happen at the owner level. Now, if you're your own servicer, right, then you would also send out your servicing letters, right, to let them know this is where you need to send payment, right? But if now servicers, right, the old servicer has to say goodbye and notify them, they give them 15 days. The new servicer, there's a certain deadline by which they have to say hello, right? It's real easy, don't overthink it. Some people get freaked out. I see people literally get all bent out of shape on this kind of detail. And it's like, this, trust me, the servicers will do it if you hire a servicer. If they're not, just expand your letters to make sure you're saying hello within 15 days of the note, when you, the title transfers hands on your note, right? Don't stress out about it. So again, we've gone through some, I know Aaron touched on some of these, so I'm just gonna put these on here. These are all things that we just check and double check. This is kind of going slow, we got some fancy. Talked about that, so I'm just gonna, the big one that we always do is I wanna know, do you think there's a different strategy if it's tenant occupied versus owner occupied?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There is. So we had a property, and I'll just tell you this one really quick because I think it's very relevant in your due diligence. We would have taken a completely different approach. Well, I take that back. So we found out, not till later in the game, but we had a property up in Sylmar, California that we got, and we had this gal, and she's like, I think I'm just going to let the house go. And she's like, you know, well, why wouldn't you just give us a deed? Like, we said, why don't you just give us a deed in lieu of making us foreclose? And she's like, no, I don't know if I want to do that. You know, I need to talk to my attorney, kind of bought some time, right? And then she said, well, listen, we need to hear from you. Or we need to collect on this debt that you owe. She's like, well, I'm trying to get a modification done on my first. And she already had one done on her first and had fallen out on that one. Right, she wasn't paying it, so we're kind of like, So then we actually, in our process, we were able to send out a door knocker to see if they could talk to her, and the name that was signed for the package was not the borrower's name. So what does that tell you? It's a renter. So she's like, to buy a little more time, she said, well, what, you know, so we kind of have this info. And then the next phone call, so she's kind of stayed in touch with us, in dark, in and out of contact, right? And she says, well, maybe I should short sale. Would you guys be interested in helping me with this short sale? We're like, yes, let's get this started, right? And she's just buying time. And finally, you know, when you find out, per the credit report, that she's now 90 days down on her first mortgage, trying to negotiate this mod, what's happening? You have a hunch that there's a tenant, and what's she doing with the rent money? She's keeping it, right? So at this point, I'm like, this lady doesn't think we're going to foreclose. We need to foreclose because I'd rather, at this point in time, spend the $3,000, whatever it was, $2,500, $3,000, and just control our own destiny. Maybe if, like, it's a risk, but would I throw money at that to see if I could maybe get in touch with the tenant, and maybe they might want to stay, and maybe they might pay us while we're trying to negotiate with the first. So we rolled the dice and foreclosed. And the tenant was really believing the owner, and then when she actually did some research, and somehow she found that we were doing these workshops and found out that we help people stay in their home. Right? And so she actually sent this video over to the her landlord. And so I get this, and she reaches out to our asset manager. And she says, well, hey, we're trying to keep you in your home. At this point in time, and there's a reach out to our office. The payments aren't, you know, we couldn't discuss stuff with the tenant, right? So we're not trying to violate any of that. So we just kind of said, hey, you know, we'll be in touch. And so we go foreclose and finally get title, right? And we hired an eviction attorney, right? And I guess the eviction attorney rubbed the tenant the wrong way. And I'm like, oh, great. Like, there's no service. You know, the person went out to serve notice. So she reaches out to us again and says, I want to work it out. We do some research on the tenant. She sends her name. She's a general contractor. Right? Her husband had passed away. We saw it. You can get everything, right? Without her telling us a lot of this. But then she writes a whole novel of an email, and she says, I have inherited a house from my husband's parents. I had to say it's not going to be ready till August. And this is, what month? This was March? I'm trying to think when it was. But she had paid, so that she finds out that her landlord was total BS on everything she'd been telling her. Like, I'm getting a loan mod, I'm trying to do this, whatever. So she says, would you guys honor my payment that I made as a first month's rent? I'd like to stay and market rent. She'd been paying $2,000 to this person, $2,000. And market rents were $2,400, $2,500. But she went ahead, as if when she's trying to sell us, I'm letting her stay. And would we honor this? She sends pictures of everything in the house that she had upgraded and was mad, never got any credit for the upgrade she'd done from the landlord. She's telling us a status, the back side of the house, the air conditioner doesn't, she's telling us like everything wrong with the house. So I've got this whole thing, and I'm just like, wow, and she wants to stay. How about you guys would take her $2,000 and not bump her rent? Would you bump her rent?
No.
Would you take her $2,000?
Yeah.
Am I under obligation to pay the first?
No.
No. And on this asset, I'm into it $13,000. What's my immediate goal? Break even, right? So $2,000, it's like, I gotta get current, right? Now, on this particular loan, Chase, because she was trying to get a mod, right? So Chase, she went down 4 payments, I think. They sold it out the back door to PennyMac, which is a big mortgage buyer, right? So while this whole thing's happening, right, what are we doing? So she was 2 months down. I told her we would honor that. When she decides to leave, the last one she decides to leave, she would have to pay. So she cuts a check for $4,000 for 2 months, right? She since then has cut an additional check for 1 month, and we just got her check for the beginning of June. And we thought she was gonna leave, and we weren't gonna get this check because she said this house is gonna be done. Now she wants to have her son, who just got engaged, help them get started, and they can live in that house. She loves her neighborhood. Do you think there's a chance I could maybe like rehab this house and flip it and stay? Would you guys work with me? You know, and it's like, get a contractor on site. Now we just gotta go try and beat up PennyMac, right? But we're collecting $2,000 while it's happening. Is that, you know, again, I'm not the beneficiary. I didn't sign on the dotted line for anything. I'm trying to go try and discount PennyMac and say, we'd like to buy you out. I don't know if they'll fly. But at some point, what are they going to try and do? They've either got, what do they have to, how can they sell it? How can PennyMac sell it? Can PennyMac sell it? Who has title?
You.
I have title. So what do they have to do?
They have to foreclose.
They've got to foreclose. How long does it take to foreclose in California?
120 days.
120, and there are ways that I can go
and
put a wrench in the whole process, because it's an involuntary foreclosure. It's like, I'm trying to work this out. You know, it's the house is worth X. I don't owe you this money. Why don't you? Because in a short sale, what are they going to get? In foreclosure, what are they going to get? I'm trying to give them that today, right? So, you know, we have some leverage too here, right? So could we get foreclosed out? Yes. But I'm hoping by then, what am I hoping? At least got my 13 out, and then I go from there and get what I need to get. Go ahead.
So a question around that. I'm putting this together in there. If she's making the payment and she's not the homeowner, y'all don't have to credit that towards the balance in the payment, do you? No. Yeah, so it's basically just free money.
Free.
Yeah, yeah. Free, so you're not paying the balance down, you're not doing anything.
Yeah, so now I've heard people that will actually, the only people say when you're in second position, or now in this case we have title, they say, well, aren't you scared of getting foreclosed out? And they always hear people say, well, I would get foreclosed out if I want to. What do you think that means? So what they'll do is they're actually making a payment every once in a while.
Just about
if that payment gets cashed, what's that tag in the system? Normally they don't file a notice of default.
It resets.
What does it do?
Resets.
So what they keep doing, I'm just trying to buy as much time as possible, but sometimes the strategy is to run that first into the brick wall while you collect, you know what I mean? Let them go figure it out. And so we haven't gotten that far on some of these assets, but charity starts at home, right?
Amen.
Charity starts at home, right?
Especially when you got 68 kids like you got.
68?
Well, I'm going to tell my wife that. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm 68. Oh, it's good. Occupancy, that's why 10 occupied, that's a big deal. So all those things, we check occupancy now, early on in the process, because I'm not going to like get buffaloed. We want to know right away. Is it checked? So we checked bankruptcy, we gave you PACER, O&E report. Does anyone know what O&E stands for?
Arizona.
That's the opposite.
S-E-O.
That's the opposite. Arizona Missions is an insurance, but what's O&E?
Operational expense.
Ownership
and encumbrances.
Right? So that's a title abstract. It's kind of a light version of a title report, right? But what you're really looking for on that, they're less expensive than a full title report. But you want to know that your lien position is your lien position. If you really want to know, so yes, a seller in their loan sale agreement reps and warrants, so they have representations and warrants that's what it is. It's a second. Well, all I got is a legal contract. So if they lied to me, like I got a third on one of them. I got to go back to them and try to get them to swap that out. Right, I got the guy offering me. If I tried to go back to the hedge fund and say it's a third, you rep that it was a second, swap me out. Well, I've already got the guy, you know, my banker up in Washington that I was telling you about, that lost his license, right? 12 grand for 20. I've already got him wanting that. So do I want to go swap that loan out? No, I got some leverage. I'm going to keep that third because I think there's some opportunities there. So we're not under obligation to go do that, right? So first lien balance, first lien payment, first lien status. You want to get a feel as you underwrite a file what all those are. Is the first pass due? If so, how much? Right? Property description. Google Earth drive-by, we talked about that. Is there a recent BPO that you have access to on first? Right? We don't order BPOs on seconds. Right? On first, typically, the seller will provide a BPO. Sometimes it's stale. If it's older than 90 days, we order another one. We try to get them to pay for it. Typically, they're not paying for it. Right? It depends. If you can get them to pay for it, they'll pay for it. Everyone know what a BPO is?
Broker.
We're in a smart room, right? Broker's price opinion, for those that don't. How is that done? So you don't want to just ask brokers to do all the dirty work for you for free. If they're going to do that for you, pay them. It's worth its weight in gold to have a feel for that. FICO score, get that from the credit report. Pay history. These are all things we're checking, right, and understanding. We spend a lot of time on a weekly basis drilling down on this stuff if you're really interested in going to the next level with this. Servicer comments, this is gold if you can get it. You did a full collateral package, right? Sometimes it doesn't include this, but if you can get it where the servicer comments are all the phone calls that they had back and forth. So a lot of times you'll have a hardship letter, right, from a previous loan mod that they submitted for. Everything in that collateral package you get if you buy that loan. Does that make sense? Seconds sometimes come with hardly anything, but a first is typically a really full package, right? But you can do a full title report, right? So a lot of times when we write this down, if this is something you really want to get into, this is a little tip, but so write it down, right? So when you paper title and initiate foreclosure, one of the first things your foreclosure trustee or foreclosure attorney will do is order a title report, and they pass that expense on to you. Guess what they don't pass on to you if you don't ask for it?
The info in the report.
The actual title report, right? Who paid for it?
Yeah.
You. So what we do is we request it, and as in our Google foldering system, we have that in our initial due diligence. And we actually, that you can put it in your file, but make sure you get it and upload it to your file, right? So you've got a digital version of that title report, because they will not give it to you, because why would they do that? It takes work, it takes an extra step, and if they're not asking for it, why are you giving it to them?
It's just something else for them to go, you know, who knows, right? So get full title, especially on files you've initiated foreclosure on. That's gold, and you want it, and you paid for it. And you're gonna get a bill for it, so ask for it. Right? Is that helpful? That's kind of one of those things. Go ahead, questions.
So just let me understand. So the due diligence you're talking about is not prior to acquiring these loans. You're talking about this after you've acquired the loans?
It can be this. Some of this on seconds. Uh-huh. Some of this we don't do till after. Like, we're literally just looking for it first. A lot of this you're doing, a lot of this pre-funding.
But seconds, you just kind of buy in pools and
then... Yeah, we're buying pools. We look at the credit reports. If it's something where a foreclosure has been started, we'll try to kick that back and say, swap us out for a new one. You guys deal with that. Because they had to take that loan when they bought the big package from the bank. Sure. And sometimes they'll just throw it in. How much will you give me for it?
Tax sales and then blight.
You know,
yeah, that's
so,
really it for seconds.
Okay.
So again, we talked about that, right? And sometimes you don't know. And so on the table, it'll say unknown, right? And so it's up to you to say, well, I got to roll the dice on this one. Right, you know, so ways to check value. We talked about this. Ooh,
your best friend.
Oh, look at
first one. It's a seabird. It's a seabird.
Oh, what the hell?
So who can go live into my slides and reduce down Zillow to a really small little one and put RPR online bigger? But you need RPR. That's my go-to, and it typically is a different value. It's drastically different than Zillow. Imagine that. So I like Shack Shop. It's an aggregator. Realtor comps and BPOs, they're going to be pulling. That's why I like RPR, because a lot of times when they do a BPO, that's what they're pulling.
Click it
from.
Again. It should be on. There it is. Well,
all right, so here, we're not able to go through. We can't live credit. You know, typically in our workshops, when people come to one of our deep dive workshops in down San Diego, we do have you sign a non-disclosure, because we go through active files, right? And we'll actually, you'll each have, there'll be a credit report, you know, where you're saying, hey, this is someone's actual credit report. And we, when we do record, we're not able to mention names or we gray stuff out, but we're actually teaching you how to read credit reports, because that's a big, big deal, both on first and seconds. Whether they're performing, non-performing, that's a big part. Credit reporting on your borrower, that's one of the six elements that determine the value of a note. You need to understand that. How many of you guys, just out of curiosity, we're coming down to the end here, are intrigued with like this debt collection, like as something I might add to my tool belt? If you would have asked me 3 years ago that I'd become a credit report expert and understand how to read these things, I have a lot to learn. So anytime I find someone that's amazing at reading credit reports, guess who buying their dinner that night? We got a credit report out, right? It's like, that's what we're doing. It's really good. So every home has a heartbeat. That's a phrase, you know, really that's what we're doing. If you approach it like this, I'm not trying this guy in Phoenix that we just had to send out. You know, I didn't feel too bad because he strung me out for 18 months. But at the end, but it made me think when he said, please tell me, because in Arizona, like you can go there right with the sheriff. You don't have to, like, there's some things you can do in Arizona. He says, please tell me when I have to be out. I just don't want the sheriff showing up with my daughter. And so I was just kind of like, whoa, I kind of felt for the guy, because it's like, whoa, he's got to get kicked out, you know. But that's what happens. You're working with these people, and sometimes at the end of the day, you can only help people who want to be helped. Right, if you're dealing on non-performing notes. Now, what I get excited about on the creating of new paper, right, you're helping people that couldn't get a home. Like, that, is that rewarding or what? Like, I'm excited about that whole additional profit pillar for the Capstone Funding Group business, and I hope you guys get excited about that too, because it's a major deal. You can make your own market. Someone asked, what do you mean make your own market? Someone asked me that today. You ever heard the term market maker? Right? It's like you can go just drop into a market, and if you know that you have liquidity for notes to get created, can you do some damage in a market? You just drop in and you can really create some cool stuff and carve out a little referral niche. Hey, so-and-so, go see them. They helped me get a house. Right? What's the name of the movie we watch every Christmas Eve? It's a Wonderful Life. Who said It's a Wonderful Life? Mm-hmm. Cool move. If you haven't seen that, that's the Tallstrup House. That's a Christmas Eve tradition. So that's what they're doing. I love that movie. All right, so these are things just when you're reading, whoops, owner title report and or a full title report, right? These are things you want to look for. Obviously, your deeds of trust and what position they're in, right? Liens and judgment. What else is on title? Why is that important? We talked about that. Sometimes you might be, they might give you the deed, right? So if they give you the deed and are willing to do that, do you want to take the deed if they're willing to give you the deed?
Maybe not.
Maybe not, but if you do take it and you put it in your back pocket before you record it, and I happen to know there's three or four liens or judgments, what do I want to, what can I go do with those?
Negotiate.
If it's got an awesome first mortgage that I love that I might not qualify for anytime soon, is it worth me getting a deed, keeping it in my back pocket, and heading over here and trying to discount these lien holders?
Yep.
It could be, right? It could be. If not, then you would just, you know, you might let that deal go. But other title issues, right? And this is, we've got a guy down in our marketplace. Every market has, have you ever heard the name Ward Hannigan, Coach Mark?
No.
He's a guy, he used to do seminars all over the country, and he's just this very well-respected guy down in the Real Estate Investment Club. And we actually have, you know, he did a little charity offering. He said he'd give 4 hours of his time recently at a thing, and I'm like, man, and he's just a title guy. So we actually, I want to go get good, and I feel like I know title pretty good, but I want to really know title, right? So it's like that's something we're taking advantage of. So always be learning, right? So check the taxes, city taxes, county taxes, school district. And some of these times they put fine, there's fines imposed, they got levied, all sorts of good stuff. Let's just put these on here.
One more.
Right? So HOAs, another thing, right? You don't pay your HOA dues. Kind of happened here. I heard some people here have a little niche chasing some of those and have made some good money on some of those, right? But just be aware that these are things, not, don't take the tape if you're buying, don't take, go, gotta go verify it, gotta go look for, we talked about that.